Totness Breakfast.
Good morning, welcome to the Full Totness Breakfast on Sandar Radio 102.5 FM with myself, Peter Sherney. It's 8:02 on the 9th of September 2021. And, well, it's live, of course. And on the show today, we will be joined by the Climate Action Group in the form of Jem Fryer. And I don't think I got that full name correct, but Jem will correct us when he turns up after his first choice of song. We're going to start off with We Shall Be Known by the Thrive Choir.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
We Shall Be Known, the Thrive Choir. And that was chosen by Jem Fryer here. Good morning, Jem. How are you?
Hi, Peter. I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning. Why do you choose that song?
There's something about, I guess, a sense of optimism and a sense of community and coming together and possibility.
Ah, that's what we, yeah. So that's what we need. And tell us, what is the Climate Change Response Centre?
Okay, so this is a project that we're working on at the moment to set up a centre right in the middle of Totnes. And the idea is that it's a centre where people can come to find out more about what they can do in response to climate change. And they can be there and share their feelings about it and add to the possibilities. It's a place where the local organisations who are already doing things can be showcased and interact with people. You can do workshops and events and anything that makes, you know, it's, we're in a very serious situation, and anything that actually is a recognition of that and makes it quite clear in the public domain.
Right. Okay. And so my partner in this household told me very distinctly, I didn't have time anyway, not to read a George Monbiot piece this morning about climate change, because it was so frightening to read. A centre in Totnes, what would you hope that it can achieve for in terms of the climate change? Is it a way of getting things further down the line to go in the right direction? What is the intention?
There's a few intentions there. I mean, the situation is really serious. And, for decades we've had sort of denial and misinformation, but we've got to a stage, I think, for most people where they recognise actually this is a real thing and we should be doing something about it, but we don't know what to do. And I think there's also a tendency to think, well, isn't the government doing something? Because we expect that's what governments do.
That was going to be
really
another question.
Abysmal. But there are actually lots of things we can do locally. And there are things that, you know, on some level, there are actions we can take to mitigate the climate change problem so that it's not as horrendously bad as it could be. And it'll be us doing our part to sort of reduce the pollution that we're making or reduce our carbon footprints and things like that. But it's also about making us more resilient locally, so that we can face changes as they come up. So developing our own food economy, making us more conscious in the choices we're making, like I said, reducing our carbon footprint, creating our own energy, reducing the energy that we're wasting, improving our recycling, taking better care of each other. There's a whole bunch of great things we can do. And the nice thing about doing these things is it's not just for this sort of ultimate outcome. Actually, a lot of them make our lives better now.
There is a cartoon going around. Yeah, I've seen a cartoon going around saying, it's a meeting. And someone stands up at the meeting and says, let's think, you know, if the planet crashes and burns, we'll have made things better for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we might as well do this stuff anyway. Yeah, that's what I was basically saying. Yes. So the idea, whereabouts do you want to set up this group?
So we want it to be right in the centre. I mean, we're in sort of communication and negotiations with a couple of places at the moment. But the idea is to give it the prominence that it deserves. You know, we've got... most people, if they go into town, they go to the shops, and you go and you find great coffee shops and great stationers and things like that. But they're not going to do a lot for us in 20 years' time. And it's kind of bizarre that there's not more prominence to such a grave and important issue. So, the idea is to have it right in the middle of town and to be really accessible. And also from there, we're planning to have programs that are outreaching into different parts of the community and into businesses and into schools, and so that we can spread that education and that inspiration.
And does this follow a model from elsewhere, or is this a new idea?
These centres have been spoken about, particularly since climate emergencies were declared by a lot of councils 2 years ago.
Including our own.
A lot of places have been talking about them. And then a group set up something called the Climate Emergency Centre Network. And they've been trying to get people to set them up around the country, and they've got a sort of template that you can work from. I think there's about 7 other fledgling centres that have been created so far around the country.
All right.
But at this stage, it's very sort of, it's embryonic. And so what we create here could be inspirational for other places. And I'm hoping, because of how amazing Totnes is and the groups that are here already, that we could actually create an incredible template that's really useful for a lot of towns across the country.
Mm. And is there much we can do as individuals? We've had the wonderful Nigel Topping, who is the UN sort of ambassador, high level something. I can't remember what it actually is. Yeah. His title's pretty weird. And COP26 is coming up, and he's going to be playing an important part of that. And Nigel seems to travel from businesses to businesses, showing them or talking to them about reducing their climate impact. That sort of thing. So as individuals, me in this house, for example, we've tried stuffing junk into plastic bottles, but that's proved to be quite difficult because you have to make them so dense that it's almost impossible to get the bottle to the density they require. That sort of thing, you try to do it. And what else is there? There's cat pouches. We've got a bag full of cat pouches downstairs waiting to go somewhere. We don't know where. It's that sort of thing that we have to do as individuals. And that is that what you would like to sort of help us, encourage us to do? Is that what you're trying to achieve with us?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I mean, there are so many things that we can do. And it's actually, I think that's part of it. That's the recognition that there are things that we can do, and some of them may seem really small, like sticking plastic bags in bottles and stuff. But the more of us do these things, the more of an impact it has.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, I was a while back, I was in Ecuador, and there was something I witnessed there that really struck me. And that was, I was out in the rainforest there, and I witnessed these leaf cutter ants, and leaf cutter ants live under the ground, and they need the leaves of certain trees to create a fungus, I think it is, for the sort of to create nutrients for their young ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they will take the strip a tree of leaves. Now what you see is a whole line of constantly moving ants going from the nest all the way up the tree, and then all coming back down with one little bit of leaf each. Now, as a colony, they can strip that tree in a couple of days. But if it was a single ant who was sitting at the bottom thinking, oh my God, how am I going to clear this tree? It would just never happen.
Mm.
And that really struck me, because I kind of feel like that's where we're at. You know, we've got that ant colony capacity. And if we all do our little bits, it can have a massive impact.
Yeah, Nigel did bring that up, and I asked him the same question, and he came up with a very similar answer. If one person does something, then that's great. But if a million people do that same thing, then you're really making an impact.
Exactly.
But that also works in terms of taking more care about what you purchase. Because in the scheme of things, if a company stops selling a product or the sales of that product start to drop or decline, it will bother them. They companies want to make profits. And
exactly.
So the idea of making sure that products you buy with palm oil in are resource friendly. Madagascar has been absolutely decimated. But it's that sort of thing. Is if something's got palm oil in it, is that responsibly sourced palm oil? Is that the sort of education you want to try and get more of?
Yeah, totally. Sort of, we're kind of envisioning the centre in many ways is an education centre that enables people to understand what things they can do and how to do those things. You know, in a way, the centre is born out of the question, you know, what can I do? Because now so many people are going, oh my God, it's serious. What can I do? What should I do? Mm. So we're hoping to sort of show people what to, many of the things that can be done and how to do them. So, you know, we can have workshops, we can have lots of information stuff there, we can have talks, we can have films. There's lots of ways of passing that information on.
So if I'm going to Lawson's and I'm buying a wok, and I come out of Lawson's and you've got your place very visibly somewhere on the high street. Would I come in and talk to someone like a bank manager and say, right, okay, tell me what I can do? is that how it's going to work?
Well, we weren't planning on having any bank managers there. I think it's going to be more like, we're going to be welcoming people in, and we want it to be a welcoming space and a comfortable space. And we'll have loads of information from all the different groups that are in the area about what they're doing and how they do it and how people can get involved. And there'll be sort of, there'll be people in there who can chat to you. So if you come in, you say, look, I'm concerned about my energy because I've been told that it's got a harmful environmental impact. What can I do? Then, you know, one of us will sit down with you and maybe we'll talk through what you're doing with your energy, where you're getting it from, which company, maybe show you how easy it is to switch to a green one, maybe talk about where you're wasting energy, give you ideas about insulation or information about how to change your insulation or how to get grants to get the government to support you to do it.
Right. Okay.
And similarly for any other sort of topic that someone comes in and wants to know about.
Good. Well, let's have a bit of music because I've got another angle I want to go down. And it wasn't an accident that I came up with the bank manager. The Formidable Vegetable Sound System. Is that those bunch of people that make instruments out of vegetables?
Not that I'm aware of. Although that would be a fantastic group.
I have seen it. Yeah, there is a group that do that. They come along with vegetables like carrots, big carrots, and then they actually make it, turn that into a flute in front of you and then play it. I've seen this band. But
Limits. I haven't seen that.
Why have you chosen this one? Any particular reason?
Limits. This band's great. They're very funny. And the song is it's sung by Planet Earth to humans. And basically, Planet Earth's getting a bit pissed off with what we're doing and giving us a warning, a bit like a sort of a scolding parent. And it's just it's a funny way of looking at it.
Know me from such places as the one you inhabit. I'm the air you breathe and the land on which you're standing, the food that you eat. But I'm getting a little bit dark on some of the ways you treat me. Everything you need, yet still you want more. You're falling over yourselves with greed, yet it's time I remind you to exercise restraint. Because if there's one thing you should know, it's infinite I ain't. You better L-I-M-I-T. What you take. been having a field day on my skin, cutting it up, burrowing in, but I'm reaching for my skin lotion to take away the pain. You better start to regulate your lifestyles of excess, 'cause I'm picking up my telephone and dialing up the pest control guy. So get your L-I-M-I-T on. I'm gonna count to three. One, two, turns a patty up to here. So get your L-I-M-I-T on. 'Cause I've got limits, and I'm not afraid to use it. With your bad habits, where you do nothing but abuse it. Yeah, I've got limits, and I'm not afraid to use it. Keep going, well, all your privileges lose.
That's right.
Now it's time to check yourself and stop pointing fingers out, because self-responsibility is what it's all about. Stop relying on the top, 'cause it starts here on the ground. Just get back to your goddess, people. Stop fooling around. Yeah, get back, get back. I said get back, get back. Just get back, get back to your goddess. I said get back, get back. Come on now, get back, get back. Just get back, get back to your goddess. 'Cause I've got limits, and I'm not afraid to use them. Harsh consequences, well, I'm about to introduce them. Oh, yeah, I've got limits, and I'm not afraid to use them.
Now then, yes. Money, having a thing like this, we spoke about a bank manager doing the talking to you earlier about advising in some ways, yeah, or others. This is going to cost cash, I guess.
It is going to cost cash. And in response to that, we are, we're applying for grants where it's possible. But right now, we're doing a crowdfunder. So we're sort of reaching out to the community.
Oh, okay.
And we were given a matched grant funding fund. Sorry.
Match funding.
That didn't quite come out right. Yeah, we got matched funding from Devon County Council.
Okay.
To do this, or at least for the first £5,000.
Which means if you raise that money, they will match that and give you another £5,000. Is that right?
Yeah, so anyone who donates to it at the moment, that money will get doubled. So if you put in £100, or if you put in £20, then the council puts in £20 as well. So getting funding at this point is really, really helpful. And there's, although I say it's £5,000 that the local council is giving, it's they do that if we raise money fast enough. Ah. It's a sort of slightly strange system where there are several crowdfunders running at the same time, and there's a limited pot of money. So the ones that happen fast enough will receive more money.
Ah, I see.
So we're really sort of trying to encourage people to jump on board with this as soon as possible.
Okay. So where and how do we find the crowdfunder if we're interested?
Okay, so there's, Yeah, there's a site called crowdfunder.co.uk. Mm-hmm. And then for this one, it's then /climate-change-response-center.
Okay. We'll put a link on the podcast, by the way. So if you're listening to the podcast, look just down below and there's a link there for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And there's also a Facebook page that we've got, which is just facebook.com/groups Totnes Climate Response. And, you know, there's lots of links going to the crowdfunder from there at the moment because we're trying to promote it as much as possible.
Jolly good. And so the actual situation with climate change, I mean, how bad is it really?
It's really bad. Yeah. I mean, I've spent a lot of time looking at the IPCC reports and things like that. And at this stage, we're at a place because, you know, we could have started doing something 30, 40 years ago.
Mm.
And governments didn't take it seriously enough. People, businesses didn't take it seriously enough. We didn't make those changes. So at this point, it's either going to be really bad or it's going to be really, really, really bad. So so we're aiming to do things so that it's just really bad or just it's bad so that it's not horrendous.
I mean, 1.5 degrees is what is being said as the increase in global temperature overall average. That doesn't sound so bad.
1.5 degrees can have a massive impact. We're just over 1 degree at the moment. I don't know if you noticed, there's been a lot of flooding, a lot of wildfires, a lot of melting ice caps, and that's just for the 1 degree.
Right.
At the moment, with the actions that governments are taking in response to this, we're heading towards like 3 degrees. You know,
that is actually an existential problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Human existential, at least.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean, you know, I think I spoke about mitigating earlier. Part of also what we need to do at the moment is adapt. And because we are going to be facing big changes. So the more we can enable our community to be more adaptable and to be more resilient in the face of the changes that we've got to meet, the better. And I guess that's another vision of Response Center. It's going to be creating a movement that creates better resilience in our community. It makes us stronger and more cohesive and more connected.
Right. So it's what sort of actions? I mean, I've mentioned about trying to dispose of things better than thing and palm oil, for example. What other things would you suggest that we need to be looking at in terms of reducing our own individual impacts?
Okay, so staying in the same sort of tract, if it's the sort of consumerism, looking at the whole consumerism thing, we consume far too much. So moving sort of into a more minimalist direction or getting into repairing and reusing and mending things, avoiding the obvious pollution that we might be creating through single-use plastics and the likes, getting into doing better composting of the food we've got left over. 33% or 34% of the food that we produce here in the West gets wasted.
34%?
34%.
That's worse than our household.
Yeah, and that's a lot of that is consumer waste. People buy too much and then just throw it out. And some of it is lost in the production method. You know, a lot of farmers will grow a lot of stuff and then a lot of it gets thrown away. Farming is really carbon intensive, you know, with all the pesticides and all the fuel that's used to transport it around all the place. It has a big carbon impact. So to waste 33% of that is shocking.
Mm,
so just people becoming more conscious of that and not sending food to landfills where it turns into methane and is even more harmful, and only buying what you need and using what you need. When people start realizing the impact that those seemingly small choices are making, then it's easier for them to make better choices.
Mm. And now that you've brought that up, it's not occurred to me that the lack of lorry drivers currently in place is actually a climate disaster, effectively, because items are not being delivered and farmers are throwing even more stuff away currently because they can't get it picked up or delivered.
Yeah, exactly.
Not ideal.
So, not as ideal at all. Encouraging people to not waste food, or maybe to start growing food so it's locally produced and you haven't got all those transport costs anyway. I think the UK only produces the equivalent of 50% of its own food. We've become incredibly dependent on getting food in from the outside. So if we can strengthen our local economy so that we're growing more of our own food and less dependent, that would be super helpful.
Mm.
So, and then, there's lots of other areas. There's sort of caretaking our nature, rewilding and increasing biodiversity. We're supporting insect life. We're down 80% of that at the moment. And a lot of those insects are pollinators. If we can't pollinate our plants, we'd also be in trouble from that. But there are things people can do. You can start putting little bug hotels in your garden and plant flowers that encourage and enable those insects to thrive again.
Yeah. No-mo May. I've got plenty of weeds in my lawn at the moment because of no-mo May. I blame that. But
wow, no-mo May is still going on. Brilliant.
I finished that. But I've got an old mower. It was hell trying to mow that lot down. But then... Good exercise. The other thing about that, of course, it strikes me that if you don't waste food, if you do take the right angles, it is actually a money-saving project anyway, because especially if you grow your own veggies to some degree.
Exactly. I mean, that's the interesting thing about a lot of these things that we can do. Often, making those choices to do them differently leads to a much higher quality of life. The more we build community. Okay, I'm going to go off on a little tangent with this because I wrote a book about positive psychology, or based in positive psychology, a few years ago. One of the things that I was looking at was research done on what is it that actually makes us happier. And a lot of those things are low carbon activities. I mean, the most important one was connection with family and friends. That enabled people to be happier and to live longer than anything else they measured. So when we're doing activities that sort of support our community connections, it's really positive on so many levels.
So there are side benefits which are actually major benefits, as well as just doing the right thing for the ecology of the country or the planet, rather.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you look at food, if you encourage people to eat more sort of local, organic, plant-based food, then that increases your health and longevity, as well as decreasing your carbon footprint. If you help people insulate their houses better, then their energy costs go down and their comfort at home goes up. So there's loads of things like that. If you encourage people to walk and cycle more instead of driving for short trips that don't really need you to burn petrol, then you increase people's health and fitness.
Sure. And, well, resilient is a word that cropped up a couple of times there. Is that a specific word that you're really keen on? Because that's a track that we're going to have from Raising Appalachia.
Exactly, yes. Resilience is super important. Resilience is about our capacity to adapt to changes, so that we can bounce back from difficult situations or bounce forwards on them as well.
trust the movement, I negate the chaos, uplift the negative. I'll show up at the table again and again and again. I'll close my mouth and learn to listen. Whoa, 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 whoa.
By Raising Appalachia. And yeah, the situation with your group, the what's it called again? Climate Change Response Centre.
And that's at the moment we're looking for a shorter, more catchy name, but that's where we're at the moment.
CCRC. No, that's not good enough. No, it's not. No. Yeah. You could conglomerate the words into one. No, I don't. Anyway, I'll let you do that.
If any of the listeners have got a great suggestion, there's a poll on the Facebook page. So please put your suggestion on there or vote for any ones that you like. That would be really helpful.
Right, yeah. So another way to get involved, come up with a groovy name for this response centre group. So we got the crowdfunder going. I guess you would like to just change everybody's attitudes towards climate change and actually get more involved. Would that be right?
I think people's attitudes are changing. But yeah,
They need to change more. I guess, what I was going to do was invoking a couple of campaigns that were hugely successful. Back in the 70s, it was de rigueur to go to the pub in your car and get smashed and then drive home. That was, you know, accepted behavior. Obviously, it isn't now. Drinking and driving completely, sort of, not completely. That's a bit of an overstatement, but it has been reduced dramatically because people's attitudes towards that have changed. We used to think nothing of driving drunk in the past, and then now it's, oh, actually, no, that's not a good idea. That's bad. And so people's attitudes have changed, and it's been a sea change from in terms of that issue. And the same thing goes for driving with a seatbelt on. In the 70s, there were plenty of people who said that wearing a seatbelt was dangerous. But that attitude has completely changed. Everybody wears a seatbelt now. And it is more to do with our own attitudes than anything else. So I guess you would like to see that happen regarding people's attitudes towards climate change.
Yeah, totally. And hopefully we'll support that process. And like I said, things are changing. If we can help them change quicker, that would be brilliant. And there is the thing of, you know, sometimes we think, oh, change takes ages and what have you, but actually it doesn't. I mean, look how much things changed in the last year and a half, when sort of people realised that there was a serious problem and suddenly everything closed down. You know, there were loads of incredible shifts in the way we lived. So we have got that capacity to make big changes and to change the way we do things. I mean, to put it in context, to actually sort of reach our the targets around carbon at the moment, with reducing our carbon footprint, we need to reduce that by about 8% each year, each one of us.
Each individual person needs to do that.
Yeah, but there are loads of things that we can do to do that. So when people start realizing that they can do something, and then when they see that actually a lot of these things are easy to do, and then that they see that lots of other people are doing them, it moves much faster.
Right.
So, yeah. So and we're also hoping to be part of that process.
It is an easier sell if you can say this will also save you money, or it'll make your life better in some way.
Exactly. Yeah. Which actually is really easy to do for a lot of these things as well.
And is it?
So, you know, that may be how people get involved to start off with.
I mean, psychologically, isn't it really difficult to turn people around in terms of, I mean, should we be, would you suggest that the government should be doing more in the form of some sort of campaign like they did in the past to make these changes more generally or globally thought through?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the government should. I mean, but also they should do it also as well as us. Governments, I mean, we often wait for the government to do something. But the funny thing is, on the other end of it, the government's often waiting for us to ask for something or to push for it. So as much as we want them to do something, on some level, us asking for it to be done gives them permission to do it.
Right. You
know, some of the choices they have to make are going to be financially hard. And there's going to be a lot of pressure from lobbying institutions like the petrochemical industry. You know, they at the moment they get lots of funding from the government, bizarrely, even though they're an incredible profitable industry, and there's a lot of pressure from them that change shouldn't happen. So it's difficult for the government to actually impose those changes, but if there's a big enough groundswell from the bottom up, then it makes it much easier for the government to make those changes and to introduce those campaigns. So it works both ways.
So it's up to us to put pressure on governments to take more action. And once we've lobbied Anthony Mangnall enough times, he's going to have to take action because we're hassling him so much. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's loads of levels of doing that. You know, I mean, the XR group are doing amazing things of sort of bringing this into public awareness. And there's also sort of a lot of local climate emergency groups. And like you said before, you know, the choices that we make with what we buy. So, you know, I often see there's four levels of interacting. There's our own personal choices and what we do. Then there's how we communicate with our friends and family. And then there's how we interact with our local community. And then above that, there's how we interact with the government. And previously, I'd always worked with the first one and the fourth one. So I changed my lights so that they were eco lights and things like that. And also, I always voted for a government that seemed to be making good choices or wanting to do good things. And I found neither of those seemed to have much of an impact. And then 2 years ago, I got involved in Ashburton with their climate emergency response and just saw such a phenomenal shift in that, in the local community, because you can communicate with other people who are in positions of maybe power or just you can interact with the community and get more people on board. And I realized actually working with our communities is one of the best things that we can do, because it does have far more of an impact. Hmm. And that can ripple out as well. You know, we've got a climate emergency was declared in Totnes, but it was also declared in a bunch of other local towns. And then it was in the districts. And then it's in Devon County Council. And all of those ripples, as they move up the chain, put more pressure on the government.
Hmm. And it also has a tangible effect, because as of now, Devon County Council and SHDC have to make their decisions based around, does it fit the climate change emergency response that we're claiming to do?
Yeah, totally. And that's really important.
Mm. And I can hear the rain's given out. It's no longer raining in where you are.
It's reduced, yes.
That clipping sound that we were hearing was rain, which it was very, very sound art radio. So loved that. Well, Jem Fryer, thank you very much for joining us this morning and telling us about the Climate Change Response Centre. Give us that web address again for the crowdfunder so that people know where to go if they're interested.
It's crowdfunder.co.uk and then it's / climate-change-response-centre.
Catchy. So we're also looking for a catchy name for the Climate Change Response Centre. You have a Facebook page as well that people can find by typing in Climate Change Response Centre. Is that right?
Yeah, that's just Totnes Climate Response.
Climate Response. Good. Okay, well, good luck with the crowdfunder. And I hope it goes well. We've got plenty of clouds going through today. It's been fun having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And you've picked up Martha Chilston to play us out. So, Good World. I think I see why you've chosen that one.
Yeah, very positive, optimistic reminder of what we can do together when we choose to.
Great. Thank you for listening to the full Totnes Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM. We'll be back tomorrow with the Friday feeling, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Saying that there's no hope on earth, we should build a spaceship and perform the next rebirth, blast away into the blackness in search of carbon worth, one leaf of what we have here, already have here, have here. And everybody's saying time is running low, so meet you in the supermarket, panic buy, and then down below into our bunkers like rats in a cave. I want to stand on the edge of a cliff just to feel brave, just to feel brave. There's something we could say, there's something we could say, cause it's a good world. Yeah, it's a good world. It's a good world. You get one free.